ॐ अज्ञानतमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुः वन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनि नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः। हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्तराधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते। तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिति कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमः। We are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam 4:25-22. It's coming. Sunasam sudatim balam sukapolam varananam samavinyasta karnabhyam बिभ्रतीं कुण्डलश्रियं सुनासां सुदतीं बालां सुखपोलाम्बराननां समविन्यस्तकर्णाभ्यां बिभ्रतीं कुण्डलश्रियं। 4:25-22. Okay, please recite. सुनासां सुदतीं बालां सुखपोलाम्बराननां समविन्यस्तकर्णाभ्यां बिभ्रतीं। वैष्णवीस् ओके वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। सुनासां वेरी ब्यूटिफुल नोस्, Sudatim, very beautiful teeth. Balam, the young woman. Sukapolam, nice forehead. Varananam, beautiful face. Sama, equally. Vinyasta, arranged. Karanabhyam, both ears. Vibratim, dazzling. Kundalashriyam, having beautiful earrings. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఎస్ భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి ప్రభుపాద్. శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్కి ద ఉమన్స్ నోస్ టీత్ అండ్ ఫోర్ హెడ్ వేర్ ఆల్ వెరీ బ్యూటిఫుల్, హర్ ఇయర్స్ వేర్ ఈక్వలీ వెరీ బ్యూటిఫుల్ అండ్ వేర్ బిడెక్ట్ విత్ డాజ్లింగ్ ఇయర్ రింగ్స్. పర్పోర్ట్ ద బాడీ ఆఫ్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ ఎంజాయ్స్ ద ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ ఆఫ్ సెన్స్ గ్రాటిఫికేషన్ దట్ కవర్ ఇట్ సచ్ అస్ స్మెల్, విజన్ అండ్ హియరింగ్. The word sunasam, beautiful nose, indicates the organ for acquiring knowledge by smell. Similarly, the mouth is the instrument for acquiring knowledge by taste. For by chewing an object and touching it with the tongue, we can understand its taste. The word sukkapolam, nice forehead, indicates a clear brain capable of understanding things as they are. By intelligence, one can set things in order. The earrings set upon the two ears are placed there by the work of the intelligence. Thus the ways of acquiring knowledge are described metaphorically. We are reading from the chapter The Descriptions of the Characteristics of King Puranjana. In these few verses, the description of the Puranjan's intelligence is given. So in the previous class we were saying how King Prachana Parishad was once approached by Narada Muni, who saw that the king was stuck in kingly affairs and performing karmakanda sacrifices, and he had no idea of liberation or attaining ultimate perfection in life. And Narada Muni thought that if I preach to him some philosophy, he may not be able to grasp it. So he told him, I'll tell you a story of Puram Jan. Puram means this body, Jan means the resident of the body, who is the soul. So while describing the body, the Narada Muni is describing the intelligence as a woman. Why? Prabhupada explains in another purport that if a man gets a good wife or a pious wife, she creates a very good base for the husband to progress in spiritual life. For example, a woman, Draupadi explains to Satyabhama. Satyabhama inquired from Draupadi, see, I only have one husband, Krishna, but you have five husbands. How do you satisfy these fellows, so many of them? It's difficult to satisfy even one person. So Draupadi gives explanation in Mahabharata very beautifully. She says that a woman who sleeps after the husband and wakes up before the husband, and one who keeps the home very clean, one who is always submissive, one who dresses herself very attractively in the presence of the husband, and one who does not reveal her beauty to the people outside, and a woman who is always eager to welcome the husband with a smiling face in the evening, and one who always sits in a position lower than the husband, and one who contemplates on husband's welfare even in his absence. Like that she says a dozen things, many things. She talks about a submissive and ideal wife, she is speaking. So there you can read more if you want to know what all she said. Satyabhama was amazed hearing that. So now, just like Draupadi is talking of an ideal wife, similarly, the intelligence is considered the friend of the soul. Why? In this world, we all make decisions using intelligence. Mind is very fickle. Mind always goes by, I like or I don't like. Many times the mind likes things which are dangerous for the soul. And many times the mind does not like what is good for the soul. And that has been seen. Like for example, rising early in the morning is not a very happy thing for most people, especially in this cold winter. So some of our students from Magarpata have come. Please raise your hands. Those who came from Magarpata, you can raise your hands. So there are about 5-6 of them. We would like to welcome them. Haribo! See, they have gotten up at 3:30 today morning to come to the temple. Although they are very young in their Krishna consciousness, they have just begun. So our mind generally doesn't like to Rise early in the morning, generally speaking. But good intelligence can tell the mind that if you rise early in the morning, you can get darshan of the Lord, you can visit the temple, you can take part in spiritual programs, and my dear mind, you will get purified. When you get purified, then the soul can go back to Godhead. So the intelligence can preach to the mind. So therefore, the good intelligence is considered like a good wife. Your husband is like a manager and wife is like a secretary to the manager. So if a secretary is very smart, secretary will know how to, you know, cooperate with the manager. For example, the manager is a busy man, his head is spinning. But when he gets a little break, the secretary goes with a pen and pad. And of course, nowadays nobody uses pen and pad. Everybody has a, you know, some mobile or something. And then takes some dictation from the manager and puts it all down and then makes a very beautiful PPT or something and then shows the manager. Manager is pleased. Oh, wonderful. You've done a very good job. So in this way, the secretary who is cooperative with the manager can actually assist the manager in accomplishing manager's goals. When Isvalna Samalaksha Maharaj, he was staying with Hamsaduta Prabhu and Himavati Mataji. So he saw Himavati Mataji was a first class secretary. And Hamsaduta Prabhu was a, you know, first class preacher. But he was not very organized. He was all the time preaching and expanding. So the combination became very powerful. He observed that. Just like we all have seen Sankarshindas Adhikari Prabhu is a preacher. And his good wife Vishnu Priya Mataji is a good coordinator. She arranges programs for him and he gives classes. He goes and he said, I am not very good in coordinating. Changing things and all is mind boggling for me, he said. But she makes the arrangement. Similarly, for the soul is like the husband and the good intelligence is like a good wife. So, when a person gets a good wife who is very pious by nature, then she keeps the home with a spiritual ambience which is conducive for the husband to progress in spiritual life. According to the Vedic Yajnas, the husband can never perform a Vedic sacrifice without accompanying his wife sitting next to him in the Vedic sacrifice. So they both are supposed to take part in it. Similarly, without good intelligence, nobody can progress in spiritual life. So there's a subuddhi, there's a kubuddhi. Both are explained in the Shastra. Subuddhi is one who guides the soul in the right direction. Now I will show you there are five activities of the intelligence which is coming in another section of the Bhagavatam, third canto. This is 3:26:30. So this will help us to understand it better. Samshayota viparyaso nishchayaha smriti revacha svapa ityuchate buddher lakshanam vrittitah pritak. There are five words used here. Samshaya, viparyasa, nishchaya, smriti, svapa. Five things are used. Samshaya means doubt. Viparyasa means correct. Viparyasa is an incorrect ascertainment. And nishchaya means correct understanding, correct perception. Smriti means memory or remembrance. Svapa means leap. These five are called as buddher lakshanam. They are called as the lakshanas of the buddhi. So samshaya, Prabhupada explains very beautifully below, you will see that. See, he says, samshaya is doubt, viparyasa is misapprehension or incorrect understanding. Sometimes we all get a doubt and after getting the doubt, somebody gives you understanding which may be an incorrect understanding. For example, once I asked a question in a class. You see, you know, even Indra is, you know, attracted to the Apsaras. Lord Shiva is running after Mohini Murthy. Our Lord Shiva, our Lord Brahma also once was attracted to Tilottama. What do you understand from all this? So one boy said, Prabhuji, that means in this world nobody can practice spiritual life. Big people are falling down. Who are we? So we should not endeavor in spiritual life. Like that he said. So this is a wrong apprehension. And what the Shastras want you to conclude from this, if even big, big fellows can be knocked down, just like President of United States, Nixon, he was attracted to, some wrong thing. So then what is become ordinary people? We should be careful. We should be attentive. We should be alert. Vishwamitra, after thousands of years, fell down due to Menaka. That doesn't mean he got 60,000 years, we got less than 100 years. So I can't make it. That's not the point. That's a wrong apprehension. The right apprehension is that one should say, oh, we have to be alert. One has to become more alert. One has to become watchful. So in this way, when the doubt arises, there are two roads. One is viparyasa, another one is nishchaya. Viparyasa is wrong apprehension. Nishchaya is correct apprehension. So therefore, like for example, if one devotee leaves the Brahmacharya ashrama, then other devotee tends to think, oh, because he has left, everybody will leave. That's what apprehension? Wrong apprehension. And correct apprehension is what? If somebody has to leave and get settled in life, let him go. But it has no connection to others. Everyone is an individual soul with individual intelligence, individual karma, karmic account and everything. That's right apprehension. So sometimes when you get a doubt, one may arrive at a wrong apprehension if one does not approach the right person. If one approaches the wrong person. But what about the doubt? Is doubt always bad? In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Samshayatma Vinashyati, a doubting soul perishes. At the same time, the Shastras also say, doubt is the function of intelligence. Prabhupada says that it is a sign of an intelligent person to raise doubts. If somebody nods the head for everything, whatever you say, that means he is considered dull, or he doesn't think. He doesn't use his intelligence, or he is lazy to use his intelligence. So therefore, Prabhupada will write here, you will see the purport. See, Prabhupada says, read it, somebody take the mic.
Doubt is one of the important functions of intelligence. Blind acceptance of something does not give evidence of intelligence. Therefore, the word samshaya is very important. In order to cultivate intelligence, one should be doubtful in the beginning. But doubting is not very favorable when information is received from the proper source.
Prabhupada says that after receiving information from the proper source, still one continues doubting. He is called as a doubting Thomas. This doubting Thomas always doubted Jesus. Even after Jesus gave him the right answers, he was still doubtful. So there are some people, even after getting the answer, they will continue asking the same question again and again, hundreds of times. So, after hearing from a bona fide source, one is given complete understanding, one should not have any more doubts. But at the beginning, the doubting is appreciated. So, we have a session called Importance of Doubting and Danger of Blind Faith. And we have another session called as Importance of Faith and Danger of Doubting. Both we have. That means, in the beginning one should have doubts. Like Arjuna had a doubt. Krishna, you are saying that the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita you gave to Arjuna millions of years ago. How is it possible? You and I are friends. How did you give him knowledge so many years ago? And Krishna appreciates the question. And then he answers. But in that question, Arjuna is asking, Aparam bhavato janma param janma vivasvataha katame tad bijaniyam tvamadau proktavaniti katam yetat bijaniyam. How am I to understand, Krishna, that you gave knowledge to Vivaswan so many years ago? He doesn't say, hey Krishna, don't bluff. He doesn't say, hey Krishna, don't tell me lies. Just because I am your friend, can you tell lies? He doesn't say that. He says, how am I to understand? So this is the way a disciple has to ask a question to Guru. How am I to understand? It is difficult for me to understand. See, the problem is not with what you are saying. The problem is with my limited ability to understand. So help me understand what you are saying. How is it true? So In the same manner, you will find Sarvame tat ritam manye yanmam vadasi keshava nahite bhagavan vyaktim vidur devana danavaha. Arjuna is telling, Sarvame tat ritam manye, whatever truths you have spoken to me, Krishna, I accept it all as true and I have not even an iota of doubt about them. Like that he says. Why? Even great devatas doubt you. With their big, big heads. Brahma has four heads. Still he cannot have doubt in you. But therefore you have spoken the truth to me now. Hence I will not doubt you anymore. I am fully convinced. See, the beauty of this verse is, this verse appears before 11th chapter. Where Krishna showed Visvarupa Darshanam. So Arjuna was satisfied with the acharyas like Asito, Devalo, Vyasa, Swayam, Chaiva, Bravishime. Asita, Devala, Narada, Vyasa. They all are accepting Krishna as God, so I will accept it, he says. And then you yourself are telling me, Krishna, that you are God, I accept it. Like that he says. And then he says that, now you have explained to me how you are the cause of everything, essence of everything, very best of everything. So I accept it. He accepted. And then Krishna showed him Visvarupa Darshan in 11th chapter later on. So in this way, Arjuna gave up his doubts about Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. At the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is asking a question to Arjuna. You know, Arjuna, I am going on speaking, you are keeping mum. So I am little doubtful, are you understanding whatever I am speaking? Kaschideta shrutam partha tvaya ikagrena chetasa. Hey, did you hear with ekagra chitta? With one pointed attention, whatever I spoke to you. Kaschid ajnana sammoha pranashtaste dhananjaya. Hey dhananjaya, is your ajnana and sammoha pranashtaste? Your ajnana means ignorance, samoha means illusion. Is your illusion and ignorance destroyed now? Are you going to fight the battle or are you going to cry again? He's asking him. At that time Arjuna is saying, Nashto moha, he says, my illusion is destroyed. He's saying, Smriti erlabda, I have become Krishna conscious again. Tvat prasadan maya achyuta, by your mercy only, Krishna is telling. Stitaha asmi, now I am situated in full consciousness. Gata sandeha means doubts are gone. Karishye vachanam tava. Now I will do what you say. He says. This should be our situation also. When we get a doubt, eventually it should be gata sandeha, nashta moha, smriti labda. Like that. Stitaha asmi. All these are characteristics of a person who has become free from doubt. But if somebody gets doubt and the doubt is becoming bigger and bigger, Arjuna compares it to a demon called Madhu demon. When the demon becomes big, then it will throw us out of spiritual life. Like for example, you see sometimes there is a wooden beam. There is some termite which is eating from inside. If that termite is not removed in time, what happens? It will make a hollow beam. Beam externally will look nice. But if the beam has become hollow inside, one day it will collapse. The whole thing will fall down afterwards. So we have to check whether is there a termite inside or termite is removed. So the termite is compared to doubt. So if you have any doubts, we should not allow the termite doubt to grow bigger. So Krishna is called as Madhusudana, killer of the demon of doubt. So one should go. So destroying doubt is like switching on the light in a dark room. Switch on the light, immediately it's lit up. You can see things as they are. But in a dark room, you always have fear. Maybe there is a scorpion. Maybe there is a snake. If I put my hand to pick up something, the snake may bite me. You have fear. But when your light is on, there is no more fear. So one becomes... That's what happens with in a Brahmabhuta stage. Na shochati, na kankshati. There is no hankering, there is no lamentation. Because once doubts are gone, doubts are dispelled. So Prabhupada says further, actually in Bhagavad Gita 4.40, there is a verse which says, please repeat that verse. The verse begins like this. Ashraddha, Agnyascha, Ashraddha, Danascha. See, Ashraddha, Agnya, and Ashraddha Dana. Three people are said. Samshayatma Vinashyati. Nayam Lokosti Naparo. Nasukam samshayatmanaha. He's telling Ajna means people who are, you know, completely ignorant like animals. They have no knowledge of difference between, you know, human and animal also. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada in his, many of his lectures begins with difference between animal and human being. So in one lecture I asked a question, can any of you tell me the difference between a human and an animal? One fellow raised the hand and said, sir, human is a social animal, you are telling. I said, because he has heard it somewhere, in books they say, no, he's just a social animal. So then I told him, animals also have society. They have, like dogs go together in a group, you know, ants go together in a group. They are also social animals. But we can say so many differences between animal and human. First of all, humans wear dress. Animals don't wear any dress, isn't it? Like, you know, humans, for example, a human being has decency. If you go to somebody's house, unless they ask you to eat some gulab jamun, you will not touch it. Animals don't ask anyone's permission. They put their mouth in a hatgadi and eat anything anywhere. Even if you beat them also, they keep going again and again. Whereas see the human beings, if somebody scolds you in somebody's house, will you go again? So even from a sabhyata point of view, culture point of view, we can say so many differences between animal and human. But people don't think about it so much because they don't use their intelligence. They don't think much about it. Therefore the word zombie is used. Zombie means just like moving here and there like an animal without using one's intelligence. You see, our body also, when you exercise the body, you know, when you do yoga, by bending the body in certain ways, the muscles are made elastic, which is actually very good. Because when you get older, beyond 40, the body starts becoming stiff. Therefore, people who are simply eating, you know, potato chips and watching TV, they become couch potatoes, we call. And when they walk, they walk like this because they cannot stretch their. But when you exercise your body, the muscles get exercised. Then your body remains young for much more longer years. In the same manner, our mind and intelligence are also having elastic nature. The more we exercise them, by that exercising, they expand more and more. Their ability to think expands. Therefore, it's important to preach. Those people who go for preaching, they are forced to think what they studied. And when they preach, because people will ask them questions, then they will say, I never got this question, now let me think now. And they have to think and answer the question. By thinking, our intelligence expands more and more. So one should exercise the thinking avenue. And at the same time, he says these three words, Agnyascha, Ashradadana, Samshayatma, three people. Agnya means people who are like two-legged animals who never think at all about what is right, what is wrong. Pravirtimcha, Nivrittimcha, Janana, Vidurasura, he says. What is to be done, what is not to be done, they don't ask. They just do eat, drink and be merry. They do any kind of thing. And the second category of people, he says, Ashradadana. These people have studied the scriptures, but they don't have faith in them. They may even quote shlokas, but they don't have faith in them. Third category, Samshayatma, is one who has studied scriptures, he has faith in scriptures also, but he doubts the personality of Godhead Krishna. He wonders, how is it this Krishna is only going for herding the cows and calves? He's stealing butter. How can he be called as God? So he doubts whether Krishna is really God or not. Rama also appears to be like a human being. He also has two hands, two legs like you and me. He also walks, he also eats. So he considers Rama, Krishna, Vishnu to be ordinary. Therefore, when Lord comes here, he also performs sometimes activities which human beings cannot do. Like he shows Vishwarupa Darshanam. He opens his mouth and shows the Brahmanda, universe inside. So all these three people are doubting people, and Krishna says Samshyatma Vinashyati, because they doubt and they perish without exercising intelligence to ask questions and learn. Therefore we say Tadvidhi Pranipatena. The word Pariprasnena is said. First comes Pranipat, then Pariprasnena, and then Sevaya. Three things are said. See, Pranipat means pra means Prakrishta. Nipat means nipat, means to fall on the ground. Prakrishta Nipatena means what? A person should bow in front of the Guru. Just like we offer flower to Prabhupada, we bow down before the Acharya and say that I bow down to you. Please teach me what is right, what is wrong. I don't know what is right, what is wrong. Please teach me. One should have that submissiveness. If one thinks I know a lot, and one is arrogant and one is proud, then they cannot learn. Therefore, you will see Vidya Vinayana Shobhate, it is said, the more we become enlightened, the more one becomes submissive to the Acharya. Not that one thinks, now I know everything what Acharya knows, I know better than him also. Then one cannot bow down. Then after that comes Pariprasnayana, which means one should not stalk the doubts in the mind, or one should actually inquire. If you don't inquire, then the doubt will eat us from inside, as I told you the example of termite. So Pariprasnayana, ask questions. In case we don't have a tendency to ask questions, we should be at least interested in the questions of others. What was the question he asked? How it was answered? Like Parikshit is saying, you know, what was the question asked? What was the answer given? Later on, Vidura and Maitreya Samvad, Vidura is Vidurasya Amalatmanah. They are saying, Suta Goswami is speaking and Shaunaka Rishis are saying, oh, Vidura and Maitreya had a Samvad. Certainly some meaningful things must have been discussed. Can you please tell what question they asked and what answer was given to them? That is also very good. Like you tell somebody, Prabhuji, yesterday I had gone to Bombay. You know, Sunday morning there was a Bhagavatam class. He says, okay, Prabhu, you went for Bombay. Okay, Prabhu, thank you. And he goes away. He doesn't ask anything. That means he is not very enthusiastic about inquiry, correct? What you should ask naturally? Oh, Prabhu, you attended the class. I missed it. Can you please tell me what was the subject? At the end, who asked question? What was the answer given? Some people dig you so much that you have to speak the whole class. People go and bring their notebook. Prabhuji, wait a minute, you are asking so many questions, even I don't know. Let me see my notebook and tell you. So if you have that inquisitiveness, then also it's very good. It's as good as questioning. Parikshit was very alert. Shukadeva Goswami said, you know, the Agasura opened his mouth, the snake, and all Krishna and covered boys went in, and he closed the mouth, and how Krishna killed Agasura, everything was spoken. And then Krishna blocked the throat of Agasura snake, and then, you know, his life air popped out, and his eyes popped out, and everything he said. Then they all came out, and then Shukadeva Goswami just made a passing statement. 1 year later, the covered boys told this story to their parents, and then he went ahead. But Parikshit was a very attentive hearer. He said, wait a minute, why after 1 year? Why not on the same day? Then he had to tell the Brahma Vimohan Leela, which happened in that 1 year. So one has to be very attentive. And Parikshit is always attentive in many places. I'm just telling you one place. Many places he was very attentive. So one should get rid of these three habits of Ajna, Ajnascha, Ashradadanascha and Samshayatma. That means not only we should inquire, after inquiring we are given support from the scripture. We should not doubt the scripture. If you have doubts in the scripture, we should ask also. Why scriptures say like this? We should ask. And then after that, after studying scripture, one should come to the point of having full faith in the personality of Godhead. What is that verse? Yo mameva asammudho janati purushottamam sa sarva ved bhajati mam sarva bhavena bharata. So there he says that without any sammudata, which means without any doubt, one should know Krishna is the supreme, he's saying. One who knows it, he knows everything, he says. Sa sarvavit, he's saying. And he can wholeheartedly do bhakti. See, in the path of bhakti, we can only put our heart if we have faith. If we don't have faith, our bhakti will be half-baked. We cannot put our heart fully. Just like, say you are going to Bombay. Sometimes when you are going to Bombay, you don't know which one is leading into Bombay, which one is taking you to Nasik or something else, some other road. So if there is a V, when you are going in a car, you don't know whether to take this route or this route, then because of the doubt, the speed of the car is going to be slowed down. But once you get assurance from somebody, then the speed of the car will increase. Same with the path of bhakti also. When the faith is strongly established, then we can progress ahead. And then Prabhupada is saying here, by intelligence only, one can understand things as they are. Read it further.
By intelligence only, can one understand whether or not he is the body.
Understand as they are. By intelligence only can one understand whether or not he is the body. Yeah.
The study to determine whether one's identity is spiritual or material begins in doubt. When one is able to analyze his actual position.
Like for example, you ask a question. This body contains manganese, sulfur, potassium and all those things. Are you that? Are you potassium? Are you sodium? Are you sulfur? Are you manganese? Are you a bunch of chemicals? This body is made up of that only. And it is worth how much? That's 110 rupees. That's the chemicals contained in the body. Are you only this much? Then people understand. No. Much more. Because we find symptoms of, like any living body, using your intelligence, you can understand it has three aspects. Perception, mental activity, and purposeful action. For example, you see a gulab jamun. As soon as you see with eyes, that's called perception. And then there's a mental function. What is it? Oh, this is a gulab jamun. And I have tasted gulab jamun before. And generally gulab jamuns are sweet. And I have eaten it before. And it is delightful. Very nice. And then there's a purposeful action. Immediately your hand goes to the spoon. Take it. Pop it in the mouth. Correct, no? Purposeful action. But no dead body will do that. You keep a gulab jamun in front of the mic, in front of the laptop, in front of this one, anything. They neither do they take any action, nor do they perceive, nor do they have any mental function. Only a living body has this. Think about it. Similarly, you see a snake on the road. There is a perception. As soon as you see the snake, hey, is this a snake or a rope? And once you see it's moving like this, it's no more a rope. Rope is not going to move on its own. It's a snake, you know. Then immediately, what is the mental activity? What is your experience with snakes? Why fear? It's poisonous. Okay, it's poisonous, but also it bites also. Correct, no? If poison is kept in a bottle, you are not afraid. You know? But if a poison is in a snake's body, you are afraid because snake is coming towards you. It's coming. It's going to attack you. Then you know that snakes do bite, and they bite. People have died also. It's fatal. Then what is the purposeful action? Yeah, take a stick and hit it. Correct, no? So you know that living body behaves like this, whereas a dead matter does not behave like this. So it's very clear cut. Living body is conscious. It can think, it can feel, it can will. Dead body cannot. This is how it begins. This is how it begins. Read further.
When one is able to analyze his actual position, the false identification with the body is detected. This is viparyas. When false identification is detected, then real identification can be understood. Real understanding is described here as nishchaya or proved experimental knowledge. The experimental knowledge can be achieved.
Like you see, he says, Shankara in his Bhajagovindam, two beautiful verses, he says, Yavat pavano nivasati dehe tavat prachati kushalam gehe gatavati vayu deha paye bharyam bibhyati tasmin kaye bhajagovindam. He's saying that as long as the life air is in the body, people ask you, how do? Are you fine? And everything. When the body is dead, even the relatives feed the body into the fire. Nobody wants to come near. Although the same body they embraced, they loved so much, but they cannot keep the body in the home for a day. Body starts stinking. Then what is this body? The body you loved so much, now the body you hate it because of its bad smell and rotting carcass. He's saying because the soul has left the body. And then he's saying, similarly, there's one more verse where he says that when a lake dries up, no more fishes can live there. No more fishes can delight in a lake which has become a dried up lake. Correct, no? Similarly, if a man has no money, no relatives are interested in him. Man has no money with him. Similarly, he says, when the knowledge awakens, there is no more samsara for you. How that verse begins? No, that is second line. What is the first line? Oh, that's the third line. I also know the second, third, fourth lines. I'm looking for the first line only. No, that is also later. Jnate tatve kaha ka saraha, kshine vitte kaha parivaraha, jnate tatve. kaha samsara hai. So what is the first line? No, that is not the first line, that is second line. Anyway, I told the examples, meaning you understood at least. Yeah. So in this way you will find when the knowledge ascends, it's like switching on a light. One cannot be attracted to samsara if the knowledge is ascending. Whether you are a married man or you are an unmarried man, there is no attraction for sense gratification. Attraction for sense gratification is due to ignorance, due to darkness. Only in darkness a man can have attraction for opposite sex. When the light is switched on, you see things as they are. What to speak of attraction to another body? You will not like your own body also. When you understand what is inside your body. So therefore he is saying that is correct ascertainment. Understanding of the perishable material body. Then one can come to the right understanding. I am not this body, I am the soul trapped in this body. Then read further.
Smriti means memory and swapa means sleep.
Yeah.
Sleep is also necessary to keep the intelligence in working order.
Otherwise, if you don't sleep enough, your head gets heated up. If head is heated up, your nut becomes loose. Then afterwards, the person goes, speaks crazy. Some people, while speaking only, they are dozing. Because they have not had a good sleep. So sleep and intelligence are also connected, he says. Because when sleep is not good, we get fatigued. The fatigue leads to errors, committing errors. Fatigue. Just like you are driving a car. If you doze during driving, then there will be an accident. Correct, no? Yeah, read for that.
If there is no sleep, the brain cannot work nicely. In Bhagavad Gita, it is specially mentioned that persons who regulate eating, sleeping and other necessities of the body in the proper portion become very successful in the yoga process.
Okay. Now I want to show you another quick verse from Bhagavad Gita. It's a very important verse. See, dhumena avriyate vahnir yatolbena malena cha yatha. Yeah, see, this is the verse. Please repeat this. Dhumena avriyate vahnir yatha darsho malena cha yatolbena avrito garbhas tata tene damavritam. This is the translation.
As fire is covered by smoke, as mirror is covered by dust, or as the embryo is covered by the womb, the living entity is similarly covered by different degrees of the lust.
Yeah. See, three examples are given here. Fire covered by smoke. See, when a fire, you all might have used a boiler in your village. In a boiler has one rod hollow tube kind of thing in the middle. You have seen that? Around that there is water kept in the boiler. Below they put some inflammables, and then they burn it. But from the top, smoke comes out. You've seen that? Although what you see coming up is a lot of smoke comes out. But still there is some fire below which you can't see with eyes, but the water is getting heated up. That means the function of heating the water is happening. But the form of the fire is not seen. Correct, no? That's the first one he says. So the form is not seen, but what is there? Function is there. So three examples are given. You can see here. Fire covered by smoke. Yeah, mirror covered by dust. Embryo covered by womb. Three examples are given. Now, although the function of fire is happening, the form of the fire is not seen. See the second example. The mirror is covered by dust, means the mirror is seen, the form of the mirror is seen. But the function of the mirror is not happening, which means the dust is covering the mirror, so you can't see your face. Imagine, for example, here is a light here now. So the form of light is seen. But if I switch on the light, if it is not starting on, it is still gone. That means the fuse is gone, we say, no? So how many of you have seen a fused bulb staying in its place, only it doesn't give light? You have seen that? Correct, no? Or you have a fan, you switch on the fan, it doesn't work. People say, sorry, Prabhupada, that doesn't work. They say, only form of the fan is there. Similarly, we may do form of devotional service without actually fulfilling the function of devotional service. The form of devotion service is, I have a bead bag, but I never put my hand to chant inside all day because it's only a show. Why? I am a devotee. I have tilak, bead bag. On morning to night, I have bead bag hanging in my neck. Only my hand never goes inside to chant. That means the form of devotion service is there. But the function of devotion service is not happening. Or I may chant also, but my heart is not getting cleansed. You know that story of that marriage wedding party. Prabhupada tells the story. You know, the wedding party was sitting in a boat. They covered all the sides so that cold wind and all will not blow. And the boatman was, you know, rowing the boat all night. They were supposed to go to another place. In Bengal, there are more rivers than roads. So they go through the boats only. So in the morning when the sun rose, all the people opened the curtain and they came out and they saw they were in the same place. And they shouted at the boatman, "Hey, have you slept off in the night?" He said, "Hey, all night I worked hard," he said. "Then why are we in the same place?" Then he understood the anchor was not removed in the night. The anchor was stuck in the bank of the river. Similarly, if you have material attachment in spiritual life, years may pass, but we are also working hard and sweating and fuming, but we are not making any progress. So that is like the mirror covered by dust. The form is there, but the function is not there. Like some people have a puja room in their house which is catching cobweb. That is because the function of puja room is not happening. The form of puja room is there. You see? And the third one, embryo, is covered by womb. Oh, when a child inside a womb, you cannot see the child. Form is also not seen. Function is also not seen. Both are not seen. Today, take the case of Ajamila. In Ajamila's case, his first situation was fire covered by smoke, which means the form of good behavior was there with Sadachar and all, correct, no? With our Ajamil. Like he rose in the morning, you know, he bowed down to Vishnu deity, he bowed to his father, or Acharya, all that he did. He was actually doing Sandhya Vandan 3 times a day. That means the function of a Brahmana was happening, but the form was covered. His intelligence was covered, which was not externally known. See, sometimes how a person is evolved, you can't see externally. See my 2 fingers, 2 hands. See, what abilities these hands are having, you will not know. Only when I exercise it, you will know. For example, I may play mridangam with this hands, then you will know, hey, he plays good mridangam. Like our, good player, mridangam player. Amay Madhusudan Prabhu. You know, simply by looking at his hand, he will not know. But in his hand, the ability is there. Somebody can play harmonium very nicely with the hand. Somebody can play, you know, boxing. Somebody can play badminton very nicely. Same hand, isn't it? It can do multiple functions. But when you see the hand, you cannot say it. Similarly, Ajamila externally appeared to be all right fellow. He was a Brahmana, rising in the morning, doing Sandhya Vandan. Anybody will say, he's a good soul, very wonderful. So that is like fire covered by smoke. But then mirror covered by dust. What happens? He was doing in a ritualistic fashion without knowing the spirit because he was not aware of the power of the holy name. He was not aware. He was not aware of what is the Gantavyasthan or ultimate gati for the soul. Not very clear. He was not actually taking regular training under apprenticeship under a Vaishnava to learn more and more knowledge from Gita, Bhagavatam and all. He was doing in a ritualistic fashion. I think it's true for many of us. Even when I was in my school days when Brahman, they gave the sacred thread of a Brahman, I was also doing Gayatri 3 times a day, Sandhya Vandan, putting a very big basma, and also chanting the Vedic mantras. As a boy, when I am chanting Vedic mantras with one eye open, I will see who is listening to the Vedic mantra, who is appreciating, how beautifully I am chanting. We have hardly any understanding of the meaning of the Vedic mantras. We don't know the meaning. And even the Sandhya Vandan 3 times a day is in a ritualistic fashion. You sit in front of the sun and do it, which is very wonderful. But there is hardly any knowledge about the soul, super soul knowledge and the understanding of Lord Vasudev, Bhagavan. His name, his form, his qualities, his activities, pastimes. And the right and wrong difference is not very clearly known. Many Indian boys go to abroad and there they get stuck in very bad habits. There are many Brahmana boys who leave India and go abroad. In America, if a girl has to say good morning to a boy, she will give a hug. And these boys were shocked by the new culture there. And then they started getting into many bad habits after going there. There are Indian Brahmana boys eating beef there after going to America. Why? They may be born in Brahmana family, the form is there, but the function is not there. He may have a sacred thread, Sandhyavandan, everything was doing before. Now he gives up everything when he goes there. So the function of a mirror is not happening. So that was Ajamila also, ritualistic worship. And the third is embryo covered by womb is when Ajamila brought that Shudra Shudrani, he saw them embracing in the forest. Then he became allured by that sight. Then he came home, sent away parents, sent wife to her parents' home, and he brought the prostitute to his home and begot 10 children in her womb. And that is the third one, embryo covered by the womb. All the three we can apply for Ajamila's case. So in our case, we should know that fire covered by smoke means, you know, whenever you see some bad sight or something, if intelligence gives you warning, hey, this is wrong, you should not do this, you should not eat this, you should not watch this, that means fire covered by smoke. Intelligence is still alert. And in the second case, the function is lost, form is there. That means the intelligence knows something is wrong, but it is unable to take any action. Intelligence has lost its power. It has become sentimental now. It is being dragged into wrong path. Actually, we all have an observation. We can see that when we are walking a wrong path, we know it is wrong, still we are being dragged. That's what happened with Ajamila. That is the second case. And the third case, one thinks that the wrong type of life is very wonderful. Ajamila thought, let me stab somebody and steal their money. Let me satisfy my prostitute wife. This is real life. Eat, drink and be merry. Big borrow or steal. Like that he thought. That is third stage. There are many people who argue with you. Hey, why are you Hare Krishna devotees, you know, not eating meat? Meat is wonderful, they say. You know, why are you not watching TV? We are watching 6 hours a day. TV is wonderful. TV is the source of all bliss, they say. So these type of people are in the third category. Embryo covered by womb. They are gone case, pagal. Very difficult to bring them out. Therefore, somebody was asking Prabhupada, somebody thinks in material life is already very happy. Some boys, when you call them for the classes, they say, why should I come? I am already happy. So it's very difficult to bring them out, just like Indra when he wants to become a pig in the ditch. He was telling, why are you calling me to come out of the ditch to go to heaven? Brahmaji, you go back. I don't want to come, he said, isn't it? He said, look at my pig children. Look at my beautiful pig wife. Every morning she's bringing me a plate of hot stool. So he was very happy in that situation. So, narakastopi deham vai napumams tyaktum ichati. Jiva who is conditioned in a naraka, he doesn't want to give up that narakiya position. He becomes addicted. That's the third stage, embryo covering the womb. So we should pray to Lord, please do not put me in that situation where I will consider sense gratification to be delightful, sense gratification to be the goal of life. And the second stage is also very bad because we are in tamaguna, rajaguna. There are many good boys coming from good families, but they are dragged by their friends to bad habits. They don't want to do, but their friends do. Like when I worked in Madhuram Flat Company in those days, executive Ashoka Hotel, there was one dinner they had arranged. There were soft drinks kept, there were hot drinks kept on one side. So some of the boys coming from good families, they took the soft drinks. So the managers were telling, come on, you are all youngsters, take the hot drinks, take rum, take all these things. Come on, you are young fellows, you are not old fellows. And some boys were taking and looking here and there. Is anybody watching me drinking this? This is how the bad life begins. They know it is wrong. We should not do it. Still one is dragged into it. That's the second stage. So we should not allow ourselves to that stage also. And the first one, fire covered by smoke, is actually the beginning stage of serious problem. That means, you know, the form of intelligence is getting covered now, slowly. But the function is still there. That means our intelligence is slightly bewildered, but the function of intelligence is not impaired totally. It is still functioning. Sometimes you have seen your mobile falls on the ground. Like I have seen my mobile breaks into pieces. You have seen that? But again, first time it happened, I called my assistant and told, gone now. He said, no, Prabhuji, don't worry, nothing happened. He just put it back and then put the cover and then only the date has to be changed. And then it is functioning. So the first level is like that only. You thought you are gone, but you are not gone. You are still safe. Your intelligence is still functioning. You can know that, yes, you still can think. You know it's wrong. Then you run to your devotee and tell, Prabhu, I was almost about to be kicked out of Krishna consciousness. Maya almost dragged me. Therefore, we should learn to scream. Like when the cow, sometimes, when a cow is being dragged to the slaughterhouse to be cut, cow screams very loudly. Once a man who was carrying the cow to the slaughterhouse, seeing the cow screaming, he left it. Similarly, Maya also catches us by the neck and she's dragging. Come on, now I'm going to slaughter you now. We have to scream, Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Ram! Hare Ram! Ram Ram! Hare Ram! Then Krishna says, Mameve prapadyante, Maya metantarante. Actually, you can only call like that in the first level. Second level, even if a devotee comes to call us, we say, hey, don't disturb me. There are many people who cut the phone of devotees also. By cutting the phone of devotees, they are cutting off the connection with Krishna. You can see that. And third level is a gone case, Latonga Booth. He has to get several lats, several kicks, only then he will come out. So in this way, our intelligence goes from a fully blossomed state to a slightly covered state, more covered. Therefore, in the second one, is a mirror covered by dust. Take the holy name and chant. It's like wiping a mirror with wet cloth. If there's a dust in a mirror, you wipe it with the wet cloth. Cheto darpanam arjanam bhava maha dabagne nirvapanam. Then when you wipe it with the wet cloth, you can clearly see the face after that. So the holy name helps us to wipe out the dust. Then the function of the mirror also starts. Correct, no? Initially, only the form of the mirror was there. After wiping the mind with the chanting of the holy name, then the function will also start. What is the meaning of that? We become very conscious. We become very alert and we can perform devotional life with full blown consciousness by chanting the holy name. Which means that chanting of the holy name gifts us four things. Chanting of the holy name gives us association of devotees. Chanting of the holy name gives us the chance to engage in devotional service. Chanting of holy name gives us, what else it gives us? See, four things. First is, as soon as you chant Hare Krishna, you get Sangha of devotees, association of devotees. Then you get the knowledge of devotional service from the devotees. Like Vishnu Dutta has arrived immediately after he called Narayana, correct, no? Immediately they arrived. Then first they gave association. Association of devotees. Then they got knowledge from the devotional service from them. And thirdly, chance to engage in devotional service, which Ajamila got by going to Haridwar. And fourthly, one is taken back home, back to Godhead. So therefore, we have to constantly chant the holy name and keep our intelligence pure and alert, doing its function for which intelligence is meant. It is supposed to guide us what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad, what to do, what not to do. Srila Prabhupada ki. Bhaktavinoda ki jai.